So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Welcome everybody, Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you. Wrestling Weekly, yeah, we're back on the air. May 8th is the date today, guys. Just in case your calendars broke down or, you know, whatever, you lost them.
Okay, and I've got a new phone. I don't know if I sound any better to you or sound any better to anybody else, but I have a 6.0, man. I don't have a 5.8. I don't have a 2.4.
So it's 0.2 better than the old phone.
I guess. Since I can't hear myself, I don't have a clue, but it's got a lot more features.
It sounds a lot clearer, yeah.
Yeah, does it? Well, good. Panasonic will be happy to hear that, too. There's a quick plug for Panasonic. But,
sweet,
yeah,
send me one too, Panasonic.
Yeah, we've got a lot of news to catch up on because we didn't do last week because you were in a catatonic state. And
I was. Yes. I was not well at all.
Well, how did everything go? And you're doing better. And
I am. You know, I still feel terrible, but I can actually get through the show, and I think I can concentrate tonight. If I had gone on the air last week, I would have probably just babbled for 2 hours. To be honest.
You mean like we normally do?
and
it would have been just a regular Tuesday night. No, I hope you're feeling better, and I'm sure everybody else does too. And
I appreciate it.
As much as I pick on Doc, I want everybody to know that I care about him, and I fear for his health and safety, and just like his father would.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We have to start off the show with bad news, and it seems like we do this, at least every other show. First of all, the Wrestling Observer reported on Sunday that IWA Puerto Rico wrestler Mephisto Lefanto died in the ring on Saturday night during his match. He was in a tag team match. The details are still pretty sketchy, but I guess what it comes down to is that he had a heart attack in the ring.
As far as I know, and I'm not going to babble on about this, but I stood over a close friend Luther Lindsay years ago in Charlotte when he died in the ring as well, and it's sad. But you know what? As crazy as this may sound, I think a lot of wrestlers would say, well, if I got to go, you know, what better way to go? God love him, and our sympathies go out to his family, but, you know, it's a shame. And he wasn't an old guy, so that's, you know, another young life cut short.
Yes, he was only 28.
Yeah.
Also, as you know, Les, and some of the listeners know, I do work for different local promotions, doing ring announcing, color commentary, things like that. One of the promotions I work for is called Tri-State Wrestling. And, you know, I'd be remiss in not noting that yesterday one of the Tri-State wrestlers, Kid America, died. He's called Kid America, but he was actually about 38 years old. But we are going to be doing a special tribute for him. We have a show in Bicknell, Indiana on Saturday night. We're going to do a tribute for him before the show, but I just want to send my condolences out to the friends and the family of Kid America. He was a nice guy.
Still too young to have passed on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now that we got the sad news out of the way, there is some, sort of good, sort of sad news, but according to an article by Variety, HBO Films is going to be producing a movie about the life of Southern pro wrestling legend Sputnik Monroe.
Yeah, you know, I read that, and that's I love Spuddy. He was just a great great character, great personality. And, you know, you've heard me talk about working with him in Wichita, so I'm not even going to get into that anymore. But I'd be very interested to see that, and I can't even fathom who might play the part or if they get it right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Almost got to go back to guys from my generation and maybe the one before to honestly capture the feeling, the attitude, the whatever, the ambience of the wrestlers of that era.
Right. He passed away, I guess, in November, and you had spoke at length about Sputnik and his part in the civil rights movement and things like that. He had refused to perform in certain buildings if African Americans weren't allowed to sit where they wanted to, things like that. And this is what this movie is going to be about. Basically, it's not so much about wrestling, but the part that he played as far as civil rights and things like that went on.
You know, that one of the things, Sputnik, as you know, in essence, well, of course you don't know because you weren't there, but Dusty, during the American Dream time, one of the things that endeared him to the Afro-American fans or black, you know, I'm not sure if I'm politically correct or not, it's just, you know, so forgive me if I don't hit the right notes, but was his interview style,
mm-hmm.
you know. As it was called when I was a young man, shucking and jiving.
Right.
And Sputnik was the same type of way before Dusty.
Right.
You know. Now I don't know if Dusty picked up anything from Spuddy or not, but yes, that was one of the things I think that it also endeared Sputnik to the black fans was you know his interview style. You know?
I think shucking and jiving is more of a it's more of a Southern thing.
You know what? I'm not sure if it is or it's not. I've
because Dusty's he's a good old Southern boy, and B.G. James,
sure
you see him do that a lot, and he's a Southern Southern gentleman also. Who knows? But
hey.
Yeah, Sputnik, one of the first ones to come up and do stuff like that.
Yeah, and somebody's beeping in here, and I'm not going to answer it. And I obviously somebody does know I'm on the air. I don't know if you can hear it or not.
No.
But it's driving me nuts. Okay. Whatever.
See, that's
I'd be curious. While we're talking about movies, you know what? I feel bad. Steve Austin's a personal friend, and I want to see The Condemned simply because Steve's in it. But I guess the movie just got horrible reviews.
Yes.
You know, 75% of the reviews done have just been totally negative. But I guess if there's a saving grace, is they said it wasn't Steve, but more or less the vehicle.
Right.
You know, and honestly, you would have thought that it would have done better than the other two. But it, you know, I hope it does well on its DVD release, which is what salvaged
the Marine
Cena's movie. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Steve, I loved Steve Austin in The Longest Yard. I thought he was great. Now, I had already seen The Condemned back in the 80s. It was called The Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
only it wasn't done the same way.
Yeah.
I saw Running... Well, you know...
this is a little bit different.
Jesse Ventura was in Running Man.
Yes.
Tora Tanaka was in Running Man.
Yes. And back then, I wasn't that old. I think I was probably in eighth grade when The Running Man came out, but I had nightmares about Richard Dawson.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
So
wow.
he was a pretty scary guy in The Running Man. I know everybody's laughing at me out there right now, but I seriously did. That's 100% true story.
Yeah.
But let's move on. We got sponsorship problems here. ObsessedWithWrestling.com. You know it. I know it. We all go to it. I usually like to research guests I'm not too familiar with, or
I do too, and I think Brad does just a tremendous job with that site.
Absolutely. Well, they are now changing their name, and it's a brand new website. There's still the same old content that you always rely on, but it's now Online World of Wrestling, and the new web address is onlineworldofwrestling.com. If it's hard to remember the new name, just remember the initials, OWW. Used to be Obsessed with Wrestling, now it's Online World of Wrestling. So good luck with that, Brad, and I know he wants to expand on what the content that he has now.
Well, I guess he's doing, I don't know if it's going to be merchandising or something. Anyway, was part of the result of this name change had to do with him being able to... I guess to trademark something or whatever. But anyway, because Brad, I've had the pleasure of conversing with him on the internet and on the telephone, and he actually owns an EPWT T-shirt, believe it or not.
Yes.
And his picture would be on our site if the guy who handles that actually could walk and shoot. Oh, that's you, Doc.
In my email somewhere.
Yeah, right. Doc has pictures, and probably when I pass away, Doc will then possibly pay someone to put those pictures up. I'm not sure. But anyway, so good luck to Brad with the new name. But it's, like you say, the same content and the same detailed, background on my gosh, it's really a hell of a sight.
Absolutely.
I think which is a plus for the wrestling community and for a lot of fans in a big way is Ring of Honor has just signed a deal to do 6 pay-per-views beginning in July. Actually, they're taped. They'll all be taped alive, or however that's said. But anyway. They're taping this Saturday at Manhattan Center in New York, and my excitement about this is the fact that we keep talking about alternatives, and everyone expected TNA to be an alternative, and TNA hasn't been an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what you're going to see. Anybody listens to this show or has read my columns know that I'm a big fan of Gabe Sapolsky's booking style, and two of the 12 guys that they put under contract initially are two of my babies. Nigel McGuinness and B.J. Whitmer started with me, and Nigel just won the King of Europe tournament 2 weekends ago. And but anyway, I think the good thing here is Gabe and Kerry Silk and his partner, they've been very conservative in this company growing, and they're not they have no delusions of grandeur. They don't, I've heard people even talk, the third, but no, they're not trying to compete with anybody. Their big income stream is DVDs,
right?
And worldwide, and I think this will obviously help to that. You're going to get a good, solid wrestling program or product for a reasonable price, 6 times a year. And I think a lot of the fans who are not tremendously excited about entertainment as it is today, they'll find that this will be their alternative. And I think, of course, it's going to help expand Ring of Honor's, DVD sales and one thing another. But I'm excited. You're going to see some of the Japanese stars you don't normally get a chance to see.
Mm-hmm.
And, and some of the younger, amazed or scratching my head and wonder why Nigel hasn't been signed by one of the two big companies already.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm happy for Kerry and Gabe and all the guys.
I'm definitely happy that the guys will be getting more exposure.
Yeah. And while we're backing up, since we didn't do a show last week, I want to comment on the...
But before you move on that, on a whim list, I gave Gabe Sapolsky a call today.
Yeah.
And Gabe will be on the show next week.
All right, great.
And we will be speaking with Gabe about the Ring of Honor deal.
Cool. Very good. And of course, they will have already taped it, so we'll get a little insight on the first show, which airs in July.
Yep, July 1st.
Yeah. And I'm excited for the talent, for Gabe, for Kerry, and actually, it's good. It's going to be, I think, good for wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. What I was going to comment on, now we're talking about, good sound wrestling. I'm not adverse to entertainment, as you know, but I'm adverse to comedy hours and surgically enhanced divas run wild and all that craziness. I don't want to see you buy condoms or imitate people. So anyway, the point I'm getting at here, apparently Vince and WWE has decided that they're looking for more mainstream advertisers. So they're trying to tighten their product up. One of the things is that the divas aren't going to be portrayed as basically as sluts,
right?
And that's their word, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
But in going in that direction, man, I saw John Cena. The best match he ever had was the on the 23rd, the 1 hour draw between he and Michaels. Or
yes.
Well, not draw, but the 1 hour match in the second hour of Raw. And you know what, man, that is what wrestling is about. Now, you can't have those type of matches on television, obviously, every week, and you shouldn't.
Right.
And I from reading the reason, they said that the numbers started to drop. But you got to realize this, too. you educated people to watching silly skits, and they left you for a while, and then your numbers picked up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going back, if you're going full circle, then you got to realize you're offering some people good, solid wrestling that actually have never seen it.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got to give them a chance to evolve as well. Again, along the same lines, while I was down in North Carolina at the mother-in-law's, channel surfing, happened to come across De La Hoya Mayweather 24/7 on HBO.
Ah.
Man, you talk about a great build-up. Now, I'm not a big boxing fan, but in the 6 days I was down there, I saw two episodes of that, and it made me want to see the fight.
Yeah.
You know, not because I think it's going to be a good fight, not because I really care who wins, but because they drew me in with the personalities and the strong points of each fighter and the weak points and the fact that Mayweather's father, up until this fight, was De La Hoya's trainer. And how Mayweather's talking about his father used to take him to the boxing gym and drop him off, and how that was basically their entire relationship in the early years, and how frightened he was of his father. But, I mean, this is how we used to build the championship matches in the wrestling business
mm-hmm.
once upon a time in a faraway land. And, you know, that along with how they built Lydell Ortiz, or how this and that, you know, wrestling needs to go back to that.
Yeah.
I mean, I wrote in my column last week that if, I mean, like the Cena Michaels thing, you know, with Michaels, you talk about how he was kind of the wild child in his younger years, right? And tough to deal with. And then he settled down, and now he realizes that maybe the next match will be his last. And he's on, you know, and title matches are, you know, fewer and far between for him. And Cena, the thing with his father, instead of having idiots go to his house and beat him up and nobody calls the cops,
right.
The fact that the father took John to the matches and how he's so proud of his son, you know, but you've got the old grizzled, well, the veteran grizzled warrior in Michaels and the young, you know, new era guy in Cena, and they could have built on that. Or give me Sting and Angle.
Yeah.
Sting, you know, again, the church-going family guy who's been through the territories and, you know, looks at wrestling in a whole different way. Angle, the ace-type personality who is in a rush to get things done before his body falls apart and thinks that, you know, that he, just because he's there, that he deserves a title shot every week. And, I mean, opposed to your mother shot your father, or let's go watch Doc buy condoms at the 7-Eleven. It's so simple, and I really think they should get back to that. It draws people in, you know.
Do you think, in your opinion, that this kind of in-depth, you know, build-ups would work all the way around the card?
Yes. I don't think. Here's my thought too. You know what? I'm not telling you have to walk away from your stupid skits and your goofy comedy and goofy characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we even had some of those in our time, you know. But what I'm saying is keep those type of things to the lower card. And you've heard me say this before, it's so tough for me to take you as a true athlete, contender for a title, and then all of a sudden I'm looking at you as a goof too.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, even the greatest actors in Hollywood, it's tough for them to try to portray both sides of the fence, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I don't see any Academy Award winners in our business.
Right.
So it's just, you know, save the boogeyman thing for the opening match or the down, you know, on down the line. But the type of thing I'm talking, I think to build your top matches, it makes them meaningful. You know?
Yeah.
And who would have thought, if, you know, they wrestled an entire hour, man. You know, and it was a hell of a match. And there's no doubt that Michaels called it every step of the way. And when I say that, it's no disrespect to John, but, you know, that's the other thing, too. You can't make stars overnight.
Right.
You can't. Michaels didn't learn to call a match or lead a match or elevate somebody else in 15 minutes or 15 days or 15 months for that.
Or learn how to cut a promo.
No, exactly.
God, I saw today some, what's the Memphis promotion's name?
The Memphis, old one. Memphis,
They call it Memphis, but it's actually CWA.
Yeah, okay.
I saw some CWA promos with the Rockers.
Yeah.
Wow, that was bad stuff.
Okay.
With Shawn Michaels doing most of the talking, but, I mean, now look at Michaels now. I mean, he completely captivates everybody.
Well, you know what? There was, I forget who the young man's name is, a young man who made up, and I never got a chance to see it, but I communicated with him years ago. But anyway, he had found old clips of different guys in the beginning of their careers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he had put those together with things from when they're, I won't say that they're necessarily their careers hit a peak, but when they matured and actually learned the business, you know, to
right.
where they were better. And just to see those differences,
mm-hmm.
It's... I don't have any old tapes of myself, but I look back and can remember some of the things that I did, you know, 2, 3, 4 years into the business that I would have never considered doing 10 years in, you know, because you've learned what you're there for and what you're supposed to be doing, you know.
Definitely.
I want to comment. I'm full of comments. You should have let me come on last week for 2 hours and let me babble.
I should have.
The other thing, which was a shock to me, I left home the morning of April the 18th, my wife and I, to go to North Carolina to spend time with the in-laws and just kick back.
Mm-hmm.
And I was totally away from the computer. There's no computer access in my mother-in-law's home or... you know, no tower where my laptop will pick up, which doesn't bother me. At least I don't have to worry about it. But anyway, over that weekend, we came home on the Monday the 23rd, got in here that evening. So over the weekend, my wife had gone to bed, and I was channel surfing and came across, I think it was Comcast is the cable system they have. Anyway, Comcast Sports Channel. And I got Deep South Wrestling. And I had sat and watched it. Now, some of the kids on there I've worked with, Kofi Kingston and Sean Osborne starred here in HWA with us. And Kofi I worked with, in fact, Dr. Tom and Terry Taylor and I worked with him last year. He's from up around Boston. And I saw these kids had a good match, best match I've seen either one of them have. Chrissy Vane was in a women's tag. And anyway, long story short, it was the best independent show I had seen. Television-wise, and for several reasons. I thought it was a good mix of entertainment and wrestling.
Yeah.
The matches weren't extremely long, but they were long enough that the guys could actually do something and tell a story, and that's how you learn. You can't learn to work in this business doing it 3 minutes at a time, right? So, but I thought, you know, hey, man, this is cool. I like this. And the next day, Mac McMurray, an old NWA referee that lives near there, came over to have lunch and sit around, and John, and I was telling him, man, you know, this is really great, and I mentioned it to the wife. So I get home on the 23rd. I saw this great match with Cena and Michaels that evening. The next morning, I didn't get back on it. The next morning, I get on the computer, and I've got an email from you saying, wow, what do I think?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, think what? I don't know what you're talking. And then I realized that they've shut Deep South down.
Yeah.
And I mean, it just blew me away.
I was very upset.
Well, you know what? I don't know what the problem was, but Joe Hamilton's been a longtime friend. And I realize he takes pride in whatever he does, whether it's a wrestler, a promoter, a trainer, or whatever. And I won't get into that whole long spiel here. I feel bad for Joe.
Definitely.
You know, but I think WWE has got to sit back and reevaluate what they're doing in terms of developmental. They're putting a cart before the horse is one thing, because they know an OV. Now, Danny Davis and Al Snow, again, are personal friends, but I also realize they are adequate trainers. You got to realize that Brock Lesnar came out of there, and John, the names that are going on out of OVW.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm seeing on their TV now is very bad comedy, and now there's some good workers there, but I see a lot of guys who, once the bell rings, they're lost. And I just think it's they've got, first of all, they've got they should expand. The developmental system. There shouldn't be one or two camps. It should be three or four or five. It's a numbers game. It's like the NFL draft a couple weeks ago, which I kind of watched off and on. how many hundreds of college football players were drafted, but how many will actually stick and make an impact in the NFL?
Right, much less play.
Yeah, and it's not there's no time frame. And you and I have talked about this on the air in a previous, so I won't get into that along. But you can't say, well, we're going to give this guy X number of months or whatever to develop. That's asinine. It's
right.
Silly because you can't set a time frame for anybody. Everybody's different in their learning capacity and how fast they can learn or even how much they can learn, you know.
Yeah. Business is getting in the way of things like
well,
that.
Well, but see, the thing of it is put the wrestling foundation under them, especially now if you're backing up a little bit, you're putting more wrestling into your show, your common thing, you're doing away with some of this craziness because you're looking for more mainstream advertisers. But also realize this is your lifeline for your business.
Mm-hmm.
This is the future of your business. And when the Benoits and the Regals and the Finleys and the Undertakers and the Michaels and the Helmsleys and the guys who can lead and who can make you look good are gone, if somebody's not there to replace them, well, here's this guy with great muscles, and he's funny, and he does a great promo, but once the bell rings, he can't find his way from corner A to corner B.
Right.
You're hurting, you know, and so I think they should, you know, having been in this situation, they need to allow, well, here's the deal. Here in Cincinnati, if the Reds general manager doesn't rely a great degree on the managers and coaches in his minor league system to let him know when I mean, he can't just decide, well, this guy needs to come up now, and them tell him no.
Right.
You know, I think the trainers need more input. They need to be given their heads more, and it's just I feel bad for Joe. I understand that there were some problems there. Again, I won't even get into that. But I know Joe did an interview on a website or something where he mentioned cooperation or control, you know, and he's right. The home office is control freak,
right?
And you've got to realize this is creativity, and trainers are creative. I'm only as good as I'm allowed to be as a trainer. Anybody's that way in that system. Now I understand they're setting up with Steve Kern. I don't know Steve as a trainer. I know Steve as a wrestler and as a person. I think he'll be, I don't know how much he's actually going to train, but, of course, Dr. Tom will be going down there, Al and Danny here, Robert Gibson has been involved. I know he's not moving. Brad Armstrong, while they were in Atlanta, was had input.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are capable of teaching. Allow them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying don't have, well, like here when I was with the company, we had what we call Bumpless Tuesday. We did a show on Tuesday night, but the practice during the day on Tuesday was totally doing skits and interviews and trying to shape that part of the business.
Mm-hmm. I bet they liked that day.
Huh?
I bet they liked doing that day.
Well, you know what?
No bumps.
Well, you know, yes, they did. But, I mean, the point is still the foundation of this soap opera is wrestling.
Right.
And, it's like saying, hey, Chad Johnson of the Bengals does great promos. He can't catch the football. Oh, okay, well, let's put him out there anyway because he talks good to the reporters.
Mm-hmm.
That's absurd, you know?
Right.
So anyway, they just need to sit back and reevaluate how they're operating their developmental system because it is a lifeline. And since there are new territories, and instead of firing guys or just setting them sit home, Jamie Noble, as far as I know, is sitting home. Right, here's a kid, man, who, listen, he can work any roster for me. If I'm running a school and he wants to come in and help with the training, I'm up for that.
Right.
You know, and he could be of value to them. And maybe he will while they're in Tampa because his home's in that area. But anyway, that's, you know, it's just, this is maybe a part, we can do an hour on this at some other time. But I just wanted to say that it was such a shock to me because Deep South Television is more in keeping to what apparently WWE is planning to do from this point forward,
yeah,
or at least that's the plan for today. I don't know what the plan will be for tomorrow.
That's true, but
you know.
I do commend them on the classy diva idea.
Yeah,
a lot of the teenagers aren't going to like it, but I think on a long run,
or a lot of the mid guys in their mid 30s aren't going to like it either. One
Jerry Lawler is really going to hate it
in Indiana that I know, but anyway.
I am not in my mid 30s.
No, well, you know what? I find, you know, we typecast, and it's
right.
So bad. If you're a woman, you're obviously cheating. You're a slut.
Right.
You know, Afro-Americans and Spanish guys from Spanish, they steal and lie. Okay, I mean that's it's BS.
Right.
You know, it's and in part I hope they break that mold because I think there's part of the reason the mainstream advertisers aren't jumping on the bandwagon as well. You know.
It's because it's racially stereotypical.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, and I can see that done in small dosages in terms of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally here or there, but I mean, just to lock it in like that, and that's the way it is.
Right.
You know, it's just it doesn't make any sense to me.
True.
You know, you're playing to a low mentality, and sadly enough, I know over the last half century that I've spent this business that, you know, there's a lot of people with education that actually watch professional wrestling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to play to them as well.
Those tickets are expensive, man. It ain't just trailer park guys out there.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. They're just not guys from Bicknell, Indiana.
That's right.
Real quick, I want to touch, and we're going to talk to American Kickboxers coming on later, and he's going to be in Elizabethton, Tennessee with me on Friday, May the 18th. I'm doing an all-day camp, and then there's a show, Midwest Championship Wrestling is running there. You can check that out, details, Midwest, on myspace.com/MWCW to get all the information. And then I'm flying to Mobile on June the 8th, and I'll be down there 8th, 9th, and 10th to do a three-day seminar with our good friend Percy Pringle, Paul Bearer, and that's open to all independent wrestlers, so hook up with us if you have the opportunity. And then we'll be in Detroit, and actually Kickboxer will expound upon that a little bit because he and Truth Martini are both run schools out of the same building, and I'm doing an all-day seminar there on the 23rd. That's on a Saturday, June the 23rd on Saturday, and then involved in a Midwest Championship Wrestling show at the Ritz, wherever that happens to be in Detroit, on Saturday night or Sunday night, excuse me, the 24th. And then I'm also working, I won't give you any towns or dates right now, but my old friend Bill Ash, who's wrestled and has opened a school in Paris, out near Paris, Arkansas, and I'll be doing a camp out there with Bill probably before the end of the year, probably going to Denver in September, going up to New England with Slam Wrestling, Bob Evans' school in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, some point between now and the fall, and also working on making a trip to Northern California. So
sweet. Money, money, money.
Well, you know, somebody's got to pay the bills. You won't support me, so.
That's true.
I do want to say this, a plug for PW Insider website. If you are a member of the Elite site, I don't know if it's on just the regular site or not, Mike Johnson, we are knocked here, or I won't say knocked, but criticized for knocking TNA. Mike has a tremendous commentary about the way TNA has been booked, or the writers write, or whatever you want to call it, and in regards to the upcoming pay-per-view this Sunday night, his commentary, and it's spot on. And rather than go into it, I'll just tell you that if you get a chance to listen to it, he speaks for a lot of people in the industry that are inside the business in being frustrated with what, you know, here again, the talent, and you've heard me say it 100 times, the talent on that roster and the lack of how it's, you know, the bad way it's used, I should say.
So, right.
All right, Doc, I've babbled on and on and on here now.
Couple quick news stories, and then we've got Irish Pete Doyle. He's coming up for Hot Topic in just a few minutes, and we're going to be speaking with Detroit area wrestling trainer American Kickboxer a little bit. Also on the show tonight, we're going to be taking questions about training techniques. So, guys, if you want to be a trainer, if you've thought about wrestling, if you thought about starting training,
if we're not going to do this, you just say so. But now you just saw True Life. I'm a pro wrestler.
Yes, I just saw this yesterday,
which was I forget what year we did that.
99,
yeah, something like that on MTV, and it aired 9,000 times, and I'm very proud of that. In fact, some of the writers said, it was one of the best wrestling documentaries. Now, we weren't the only people on it. We were the school. Tony Atlas was on it, as well as Hunter Hearst Helmsley and
China.
Yes.
Have you seen China's movie?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No.
I was just checking.
But anyway, I know you wanted to talk about that, and so that, you know, and
the pay-per-view prediction game.
Yeah, and if anybody is listening, has seen it, and wants to ask questions, feel free to do so.
Absolutely. Get your questions ready. We'll be getting to that. Right now, a couple quick news stories here. PW Insider is reporting that former WWE Senior Vice President of Licensing and Merchandising, Jim Bell, and former licensing agent Stanley Shanker were both sentenced last week for a kickback scheme, which they defrauded WWE over the course of the last few years. Bell, who a lot of people remember was on Beyond the Mat, the documentary, he received an 8-month prison sentence and 3 years of probation. Shanker was sentenced to 2 years, 9 months in prison with 3 years of probation. This story broke, I believe, in the fall. Yeah. Not good. Not good stuff.
Well, you know what? I don't know. I've never been a corporate president or that high up in the food chain. But I'm assuming that this goes on all the time in our government, in big corporations. Just these guys got caught, you know. And, it's...
That's a pretty stiff sentence, though, for guys that high up, white-collar crime type
well,
of thing.
Well, yeah, you're right. You're
Those
right.
Are
but maybe
sentences.
That's, you know, your girlfriend Paris Hilton is going to jail for 45 days.
And, my girlfriend.
But she'll probably, it'll only probably enhance her reputation if that it sounds as silly as it sounds, but, you
it
know.
Will with the guards, I'll tell you that.
I'm not going to touch that one, Doc.
Also, and I don't know if you know this, Les, but there's a St. Louis news station, KMOV. They recently did a piece about a loophole in the state laws. It was Illinois and one other state that are not sending all the mental illness information that's supposed to be forwarded to the FBI to keep people from purchasing a handgun if you have mental illness. So they're doing the story on this, and they're talking to this gun shop owner. And who walks in looking at a gun but Randy Orton? During a story about mental illness and not being able to buy guns, Randy Orton walks in and starts looking at guns.
I had heard that.
The irony was not lost on me.
Well, you know what? I just read in the paper this morning that the guy in Blacksburg at Virginia Tech, supposed to get evaluation and see a counselor for mental illness, and the state or the city or whoever was supposed to follow up on it never did.
Right.
And so possibly due to whether it's a work overload or just not paying attention or not caring, I don't know. You know, but it's a sad commentary on the way things are run.
Absolutely. I got to tell you, though, if I was Vince McMahon and I had just suspended Randy Orton and then he's in a gun shop buying guns.
Well, I'm not going to read you. Now, be careful what you say, because some idiot will listen to this and on a website tomorrow. Well, Doc Young said that Randy Orton's going to shoot Vince McMahon.
Of course, I'm teasing everybody. But
yes, please say that.
But if I was Vince, I'd beef up security. Anyway,
No. You know, while we're on this and mental illness and goofy things, you and I talked about this briefly today, and I want to touch on it.
Yes.
I know it's posted on our website. I won't make a commentary on that. It's posted on a lot of websites. Is the thing that's on the YouTube about the Iron Sheik and Ultimate Warrior.
Yes.
It's not funny. It's not entertaining. It's sad. And when I say that, Khosrow Vazari, who is the Iron Sheik, I've known him for years. I mean, wrestled, worked in the territories with him back in the set. But when I ran the tours for WCW in 82 and 83 here in Ohio, Michigan, and West Virginia, Kaz rode with me on several occasions. And this guy is not whatever he is now is not what he was.
Mm-hmm.
And, I hate to think that people think of him in the terms that they see currently, because here's an intelligent man, and he's done a lot of things. I mean, legitimately, he was a bodyguard for the Shah of Iran, and you know, was an Olympic wrestler, and
right.
and he helped. Well, he helped train Ricky Steamboat and a lot of guys, you know, out of AWA. So I feel very sad. I don't know Warrior. He strikes me as a goof, and everybody seems to confirm that. But you know, for Kaz, I just feel bad, and I don't read the National Enquirer either, and I just. It's, you know, I know things like this are entertaining to some people, but if you know the guy, it's not.
Right.
I guess that's the point. And I want to say, if you'll watch it, you know, you can laugh, you can do whatever, but please realize that the guy contributed a lot to this business, and whether he's down on it, you know, whether it's been dropped on his head too many times, whether it's demand, I don't know, you know,
mm-hmm.
but don't judge him harshly on what you see on that piece of video. That's all I'm saying.
Well said. Guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got Irish Pete Doyle. He's a former WWE writer. He's going to be talking about the hot topic of the week. Guys, if you're in the live chat room right now, get your questions ready. We are going to be taking questions about training, any questions you have about training, what's involved, and we're going to be also talking about True Life, I'm a Pro Wrestler, which starred my good friend, Les Thatcher. We'll be right back after this, guys. You're listening to Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and Les Thatcher.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, then an obsession. Check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, The Best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Business Advances Web Hosting.
With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Here's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Hi, my name's Adam Nadelmi, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly, guys. On the line right now, former member of the WWE creative team, Irish Pete Doyle is here with us, and he's here for Hot Topic. Pete, how are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. We haven't spoke to you in a few weeks. How have things been?
Things have been off the charts.
Excellent.
I love that. Are you following your fellow Californian Barry Bonds' quest to tie Hank Aaron's record?
I'm a huge Angel fan, but yeah, I can't help but hear about it every night I turn on the ESPN.
Oh, you're an Angel, and I'm a Dodgers fan.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been a Dodgers fan from Brooklyn. Yeah. Well, I was a catcher as a kid, and Roy Campanella was my idol as a kid, and I've been a Dodger fan since I was about 8 years old.
I was from Chicago, so Brian Sandberg was my hero. And
cool.
For some reason, Dale Murphy from the Braves. Yeah, just thought I'd throw that in there.
Well,
yeah.
We don't really care, Doc.
I know.
Yeah. you know the silence when he says those names?
I know. It was just like, you know, sold that. But, Pete, I heard you have a new endeavor.
I do. I do. I'm going into this wrestling business. No, I've decided to, with a very good partner of mine, we're going to open up a new school here in Southern California, North Orange County. It's called the Mayhem Wrestling Academy, which will coincide with its sister company, Mayhem Wrestling Federation, which I've been wanting to do for many years, since I got back from WWE, just haven't had the resources or the time. And, luckily enough, I ran into a very good person who understands, has never been involved in the wrestling business before, but understands the potential and the game plan, very, very good business minded. So basically, the wrestling school will hopefully be kicking off in July, as well as the promotion. We're trying to get everything situated. If you want to enroll, no matter where you are in the country, you're always welcome to enroll. And, you know, you can email me at pete@irishpete.com or call me at 714-504-6310.
Let me throw my hat in the ring. I want to learn to wrestle. What I do want to say is I'd love to come out and do a weekend seminar for you, like I do, you know, for other schools around the country. So
I'd love to.
Please keep me in mind, and you know, I'd love to do it. So
that'd be an honor.
Yeah, cool. Who are your trainers, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, you know, we've got, you know, thankfully we've got some good talent out here. We've got Aaron Aguilar, otherwise known as the Hardcore Kid, who was on WWE for a little bit as Jesus Aguilar with Carlito.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's a good guy, and you know, we're going to have him. The Balor brothers, I think you're familiar with those, Les.
You know what? I don't know that I've ever seen them, but I sure know the name. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've been around a long time, and unfortunately, they never really got the big break that they deserve. But
they never got the big break that their manager, cheerleader Melissa, got.
Well, you know. Okay, I'm not gonna.
I'm just commenting. That was, you know, cheerleader Melissa was part of that.
I'm high on Melissa. I really am, as a performer. She's one of the best women out there. I don't know if her bra cup size is what's kept her from getting a contract, but it shouldn't have, because I mean, you know, I think she's a good looking girl. But I've worked with her in training camps several times. But anyway, let's move on past that, because that's not the hot topic, obviously. But anyway, I'd love to work with your trainers, your talent, and like Percy's doing at Mobile, you can open it up to any of the independents that want to come. And
definitely.
I have something for referees, managers, promoters, trainers, and wrestlers. So
excellent.
Yeah. It's like I was telling some of the guys last night. I was talking to some of the regular guys who are going to be coming on board to help me with this. You know, this is going to be about the boys. You know, I don't care about making a penny off this as long as I'm breaking even, and you know, to have the guys make some money when they're doing the shows, and have these guys who are students learn what they need to learn to get to the next level. That's what this is all about. You know, it's been too long out here in Southern California where some of these promoters are just, you know, in it just to make money for themselves and not giving a crap about the guys who are in there busting their asses, mm-hmm. you know, trying to put on good shows for them. And I want to get back to, you know, treating you guys with some respect. And that's what I've always been about, even when I was at WWE, which is, you know, where I bashed heads a lot with certain people. But, you know, and for two particular guys who really want to learn to wrestle, Lex Luger and Buff Bagwell, you guys are welcome to the school.
Oh, you had to
what?
Throw that in there, Pete.
What? I'm going to help some guys out. What's going on? Warrior, you listening?
So, Pete, what's the hot topic this week?
Let's talk about Ken Kennedy.
Mr. Kennedy. Okay, go ahead.
Kennedy, yeah. no, I'm sure a lot of people watching last night were like, what the heck is going on? He kind of got jobbed out there a little bit. And
right.
Like he got squashed and destroyed, but you know, I guess he's got this injury. He's going to keep him out for 7 months, and you know, I'm sure once he comes back, they'll figure out a way to get that money in the bank back on him. You know, but I think it's a smart idea to keep that money in the bank important and fresh, because if you keep that money in the bank on him while he's out for 7 months,
right?
You know, people forget about it, and I think it's a very important part of WrestleMania now. You know, it's definitely one of the most exciting things. At WrestleMania.
That's definitely a good point, is to keep that thing seen.
You know what? I think let me throw something in here about Kennedy. He is a guy who goes to show that first impressions aren't always necessarily factual.
Mm-hmm.
When I say that, now Jim Cornette and I both had this conversation whenever Kennedy came up, right?
Mm-hmm.
to the main roster, and Jim said the same thing. The first time we saw the guy, you know, we thought, yeah, okay. And then the next time we saw the guy, we were looking at the technical aspects, but he's improved. He's obviously got a personality. He's obviously you know, made the connection with the fans, whether it be as a babyface or heel, or just as a personality, not necessarily either or. But I think I was looking forward to this build to the next WrestleMania. You know, because, I mean, that's, Pete, having been part of the creative, spit it out, Les, part of the creative team in WWE, to actually almost a year to build towards something and actually advertise that you're building toward it for a year is, you know, biting off a lot, don't you think?
I definitely think it is. And in all honesty, I still think they could have, you know, kept the Money in the Bank with him and kept him on TV, even when he's rehabbing, you know?
Right.
And for him not to wrestle for the next year would definitely be very interesting, because that's even more of a, wow, you know, this guy is so cocky now that he's Mr. Money in the Bank. He doesn't want to waste his time with anybody else but the champ at WrestleMania.
You know what? No? I hadn't looked at it in that direction, but I like what you're saying, and even more to the point where he's injured. I mean, go ahead and play off of the factual part of it, and the whole story is that this is the most important rehab of it can ever be in his life, because he's carrying this case around.
Right.
Right?
Totally. Let me ask you before we go any farther, Pete. We were talking about this earlier. Did you happen to see the De La Hoya Mayweather 24/7 on HBO?
You know, I did not.
Okay, I mean, everybody that I've talked to has seen it, just were blown away by it. But anyway, that something similar to that you could build around Kennedy. I mean, through the surgery, through the rehab, and while doing that, give some of his background. And I was telling Doc, I'm not a big boxing fan, but I had a chance to watch this while I was down at my in-laws a couple weeks back. But it made me want to see the fight, not because of the fight itself, but because of the personalities and the build that and they drew me in with that, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I would have watched that De La Hoya stuff, but I don't really watch those sports that are fixed.
I hear you.
So, Mr. Kennedy, he's got this huge tricep tear, and what I heard was that, I mean, it was torn off the bone.
Wow.
Yeah, they roll up like that. I've seen a lot of that. You know, we've seen more of that in wrestling, I think, in the last... 15 years, maybe. For what reason? I won't venture a guess, although I do have my opinions, but I won't get into that because I don't point fingers if I can't be sure what I'm pointing them at.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen in bodybuilding a lot, pec tears, bicep tears, tricep tears. Of course, Helmsley is his second quadricep tear.
Right.
Yep. And Undertaker just tore a bicep.
Yes.
You know, and that's, you know... there's more for what reason is more of it, but what that's, if you've never seen it live, Doc or Pete, it's the muscle actually rolls up under the skin.
Oh.
Yeah, and it has to be reattached at the insertion, and it's you know, it just snaps. I saw a guy in a bench press competition tear a pec that way.
Wow.
And it will never, now, let's say with his triceps, if he were doing bodybuilding competition and everything else being equal, you would see that tricep will not look exactly like the other tricep. I mean, it won't, you know, depending on the severity of it, it may just be a minor difference in appearance, but it could be a very major. But, of course, in our business, that's, you know, that physical part of the thing is not all that big a deal anyway, but it's a shame for this guy because he was just getting ahead of steam.
Yeah, it is. It seems to happen in this business, you know. It's like, you know, Austin, at the pinnacle of his career when he had that accident with his neck with Owen, you know, I mean, that could have been so much worse. And, you know, when Eddie first came to WWE, when he, you know, broke his arm doing that first frog splash, you know.
Right.
It seems to be an ironic thing in this industry, you know. And people, that's another thing people don't get. It's like, at any time, you just don't know.
Well, you know, that's what I try to tell young guys, too. People were talking about, you know, where it comes to training guys in schools and this and that and the other thing. You can't, you know, a lot of guys go out to entertain the boys in the back. You know, I see kids, you know, in front of 50 people or 100 people, and they're probably getting gas money at the best out there, doing things that, well, I saw Mick Foley do it, or this guy, and you got, you know, and even for the amount of money that Mick got for diving off that cage, I'm not sure I would have done it. But the point is, at least there was a, you know, a halfway sane reason for him to do that.
Right.
You know, and with these injuries, these kids have just got to understand they are, you know, they're not Superman. They're not bulletproof. And if they're building toward a career, then they need to save those things for when they count the most, you know, the big crowds, the big pay-per-view, or instead of doing it for your buddy down the street just to show him, hey, how cool you are, maybe save it for that scout from WWE or TNA who might be putting your name on a contract.
Exactly. Totally.
So last question, guys, and I'd like to hear from both of you on this one. Undertaker, out 6 to 8 months. Mr. Kennedy, out 5 to 7 months. The world champion's gone. The Money in the Bank winner's gone. What's next? What do you do now?
Start up a wrestling school and make some money.
Well, you know what? One of the things, you know, that they don't have at their disposal right now is a deep, when I say a deep roster, they've got in numbers, they've got a deep roster, but a lot of guys that can fill those gaps. And part of that is it's not necessarily because they can't fill them physically or even don't have the talent. It's just that so many guys, I think it's, you know, they keep just a handful of guys good and everybody else is fodder. Mm-hmm. And I think that's bad because, you know, in times like this, you need to push somebody into that spot.
Right.
I totally agree.
It's tough for us to have the show when we all we agree on everything. What's your, okay? Do I owe you?
Well,
guys?
Doc, if Doc would talk more, we'd have somebody who's wrong.
It's like the Wrestling Weekly Love Fest, but
yeah. Well, Doc's probably looking at a picture of Chrissy Hemme or something. I don't know.
Doc don't feel good tonight, baby.
Doc doesn't like girls. Come on.
Really?
Okay.
There's news. Now we can do a half hour on that. That
Pete,
would be the hot topic.
Pete,
Doc comes out of the closet.
Thank you for coming on Hot Topic, Pete. We'll talk to you. We'll
talk
to you next
to you
time.
2020. Yeah.
We'll have you back on when your school closes down.
Let me pose a question to you, Pete.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
I've been involved in booking. I've never been just a writer as such, but let's say you were head of the creative team and you had this situation with Kennedy, and do me a favor, just now you said, you know, leave him with the Money in the Bank deal, but give me, if you don't mind, go into details a little bit, and how would you carry it?
Well, you know, I'd have him come out, and you know, wrestling, you know, a lot of stuff happens backstage that they use in the forefront, and a lot of stuff happens that they don't put in the storylines. And for now, I just have him come out and just, you know, in a suit, you know, and just, you know, be, you know what, I'm Mr. Money in the Bank, I have my shot at WrestleMania, I don't need to work hard for anything anymore, because I have what I need at WrestleMania, so I don't need to do anything else until then. So, until then, I will choose when I wrestle, who I wrestle, and if I even want to wrestle. You know, right now I'm just going to go hang out with, you know, JR and Jerry Lawler right now and enjoy the rest of the show. You know, and have him come out once a week and say something like, you know, tonight I'm going to wrestle, no, forget about it, you know, and just be that cocky guy. And eventually people will love him, and then eventually you have Vince get pissed off at him, you know, and he'll turn face.
Wow.
You
know?
You guys probably never saw this. Of course, I was part of the, he used the gimmick in more than one territory, but Bobby Shane as a heel did something along those lines. And when Gordon Solie and I were doing the TV in Atlanta in 74, 73, 74, Bobby, with this thing was, you know, I'm such a special guy and such a special talent that I don't waste my time and give my talents away free to these people on television. You got to buy a ticket to the house shows to see me. And then, of course, the whole deal is it's at some point with him, of course, he wasn't injured, was to gourd him into actually, you know, dropping that and wanting to wrestle on television.
Mm-hmm.
Or, for, you know, because you made him mad or whatever the deal. Now, let me, again, by wrestling, from a wrestler's view of this, the creative thing, I see where you're going with it. But now if there is, of course, there is no commissioner in Raw, is there? Raw doesn't actually have a figurehead.
It's sort of McMahon.
Well, or coach or whatever. But I was thinking more. It's now, see if it were Teddy Long, who's more of a babyface commissioner, or will be up until he that little girl turns him into a babbling idiot.
But I was going to say, at some point you say, well, you know what, you're going to have to wrestle or something. But then, you know, if you could carry this as far as you think it's the people who are buying it, and then you could actually have him be injured then.
Right.
And then work on the, you know, doing the rehab thing up until Mania, which gives you a little more juice, say, 4 months into this thing. Would you not think?
Definitely. I mean, you can definitely play off it for a long time and, you know, do what you want with it because he has that ability to pretty much do anything you want except for working the ring. And there's so much more else you can do with a character without putting him in a ring, you know?
The tough thing with being in creative or a writer today or a booker, whatever the terminology, is that so much gets out on the internet, sheets. You know, years ago, if I wanted to, you could say you broke my leg here in the Ohio Territory, and I could go to Oklahoma and wrestle for 6 months and come back. And unless you were a truck driver and happened to stumble across me in Oklahoma, you know, you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know the difference. But now, there's just so much, that's let out, and the people are so in on everything that it just makes it so much. I mean, because you're going to have a percentage, you know, if you write it where he just doesn't want to wrestle, people are going to look and say, I know better. Because because he's really injured, so I'm not buying this. But it makes it so much tougher. But of course, I guess the information highway has created that for every business, hasn't it?
Yeah, man, we've just heard instant creativity right here on the show. A whole storyline came out of this.
Yeah,
good work.
And it will never be used because it was good.
That's right.
unless we tear Doc's tricep, Pete, and then we.
And then we could do some sort of storyline based on that.
Where you can't hold a microphone?
Yeah.
In that arm.
Has triceps? Whoa.
Pete, I want to thank you for being on today.
I love you, Doc.
No, but
all out of love, my friend.
Seriously, we do got to go. I appreciate you being on. And, guys, Irish Pete Doyle will be back with us in a few weeks.
Hey, Pete, at some point, give me a call. The best time to catch me with nothing going on in my life is mid-afternoon Eastern Standard Time, somewhere between 1 and 3 or something like that.
Sounds good.
We'll kick around some of the stuff we were talking about before we went on the air.
I love it.
Okay?
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Bye, Pete.
Bye-bye.
Former WWE writer Irish Pete Doyle here with Hot Topic. Les, you know, we did the pay-per-view prediction game for WWE's Backlash.
And then we got another one coming up, right?
And then we did not have a show last week,
right.
So we have to go through that. And we've got, of course, this weekend TNA Sacrifice. Let's start off with WWE's Backlash.
Okay, cool.
Let's find out who won the last pay-per-view prediction game that you and I played a couple of weeks ago. God, it seems like so long ago.
Yes.
But
time
actually,
flies doesn't. When you're having fun.
Sure does. First of all, it was the Women's Championship match between Melina and Mickey. James, you had went with Melina on this one.
Okay.
And I had went with Mickey James.
So I won, I know.
And, yes, Melina did win. You got the point for that.
Okay.
Next was Benoit and MVP, the rematch for the United States Championship. Chris Benoit, he kept the title. We did not see this coming. You and I had both went with MVP on this one in sort of an upset. You know, we tried to get clever, but it didn't work.
Yeah,
so.
You know what? You're right.
Which we did. We tried to get clever, but no.
Well, we were trying to think like somebody we don't even know, right?
Right. Next up was the Tag Team Championship with the Hardys versus Cade and Murdoch. You and I went with the Hardys on that one. The Hardys did take that one. That's a point for me, 2 points for you.
Let me throw a quick aside in there about this. You know, the Hardys are so for whatever reason, over with the fans, the fan base, you know, because they're kind of like rock stars or whatever. You know what? It would have made good sense because it looks like Lance and Trevor are going to get a little push here,
mm-hmm.
and there's been so many false starts since those guys came up, and they've been misused, I think, to a great degree. It might have been a smart move to have put the belts on them because I don't think the Hardys actually need the belts. you know, and you could have had a good program with the Hardys chasing these guys, and it would have put more, it would have made a more solid base under Murdoch and Cade. And it would have, going back to what we had with Pete, that way, you know, that way you've got more depth on your roster.
True.
You know, solid depth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, move on.
It didn't work out that way, but
no, it did.
Next up was the Undertaker versus Batista. That, of course, being the World Heavyweight Championship match, Undertaker did win on that one, and you and I went with Taker on that one.
So it's 3-2 in my favor thus far.
Three. 3-2.
Okay. See, I'm keeping count because I know I can't trust you off the bottom of the deck.
You know I can't. You know I can't count. WWE World Champion John Cena beat Edge, Randy Orton, and Shawn Michaels in the Fatal 4-Way match. That didn't fool us. We both went with Cena on that one. So we both got a point on that one.
4-3.
And finally, it was Mr. McMahon becoming the new ECW champion with the McMahon's teaming up with Umaga to take on Bobby Lashley. You would have went with Lashley on this one.
Yeah.
And I had went with, the McMahons and Umaga.
Because Lashley made sense to me, and I won't fill a lot of time with this, but I want to say, you know, I just think that was so wasted. I mean, it really was. It's just...
You mean playing the game that ended up in a tie?
No, not us playing the game. I mean, putting the belt on Vince.
Yeah.
It's meaning. I mean, well, and you know what? I just, from the reaction of the house, the crowd, and from what you know, feedback from people and reading on the different websites and sheets and feedback from the fans, it's like, okay, so nobody cared,
right?
You know, it's the boss doing what he wants to do, which I think was just a bad move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it certainly does. Well, here's the other thing, very quickly. To throw, if they're trying to do more sane wrestling, more things that make sense. Here's the deal: three guys against one. The one guy is silly to take the shot. Although I understand that's what Van Damme's doing tonight with the same three guys.
Right.
One idiot follows another idiot, as best I can tell you with that, because these guys is supposedly baby faces are you know. The smart thing would be for Van Damme to say, "Hey, been down this road. You want to wrestle with McMahon? Then we bar your kid and Umaga from the building."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and which makes sense.
Right.
And then you can figure Van Damme's going to win. Of course, whether they want him to win or not, I'm not sure because of the contractual thing. But the point is, it makes no sense. My point is this: you and two other guys. I don't care how tough I might be, or whether I'm an MMA champion, or whether I'm a wrestling champion, or whether I'm Kurt Angle, or whoever I might be. If you three guys have any guts at all, and you jump me, I may be tougher than any one of you individually, and I'm going to get my shots, and you guys are going to take some bruises. Now, if you don't run away from the first bruises you take, chances are the three of you are going to wear me down and beat me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's it's not a fact of who's in that situation. It's a fact of numbers, you know. So it's just I just don't see the value.
Well, let me play devil's advocate here. There are some people who are really macho, and I have been outside of a bar where one guy took on three and beat them up.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying that the of the three guys, one or two. Got stung and backed off or whatever, right? Yeah, I mean, well, no, I'm, you know, but you get my point. We're talking about three guys. I mean, Umaga's not, either one of the McMahons are not small guys.
Right.
Right? And here's the other thing. What does this, you know, it was like when you put the Cruiserweight title on Jacqueline. What did that do? Somebody in the back got a laugh out of it, but it did nothing for the Cruiserweight title. And this certainly is doing nothing. You know, Vince may get a nut on this or something, but it's not doing a thing for the ECW.
And we've been down this road before with Vince McMahon getting titles, and it didn't work then.
It's of no value, honestly. You know, the idea here, the idea should be to elevate your talent,
right?
And build a stronger base under them. And it's not like, well, Vince needs the money or, you know.
Right. What I gather is that they believe that with Vince holding the belt, it gets more good heat for the babyface.
I don't think so.
And
I'll tell you why.
It just doesn't work like that.
He's better off, especially, I mean, and I don't mean this in any offensive way, But everyone basically knows his age, you know, and the fact that he's not a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And he would get more heat on himself by hiding behind legitimate wrestlers and having them do his bidding,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, the same as a manager, like a Cornette or a Bobby Heenan or Jimmy Hart or Gary Hart or any of the top managers over the years, you know, and it's be more meaningful.
Yeah, and you know, I could have probably at one time been talked into the fact that McMahon holding the belt is kind of this na-na, you can't get me heat, but they've already done it before and it didn't work.
Well, yeah, that's what I say. I don't see where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, well, it goes nowhere. And again, if you're talking about strengthening the numbers on the ECW show, if you're talking about, you know, if you were building Bobby Lashley for something, this certainly didn't do, you know, and that's the story I've heard is that, you know, the project was to make Lashley a strong player, you know, a la Cena or Undertaker or, you know, Helmsley or Batista or any of those guys. And I don't see what this does. I mean, to me, like I say, you know, it just doesn't fly. So anyway.
Absolutely. So that ended up in a tie.
Well, okay.
Yeah, it happened.
Kind of like kissing your sister. They sell me a draw.
Yeah.
But anyway, cool.
We've been tying a lot lately, so this is not bad. Or you know, or one of us wins.
And now
by one.
Now we've got to pick some guy, pick some winners for the TNA pay-per-view coming
TNA
up Sunday.
Sacrifice.
And then we're going to move on and we'll talk about the MTV special.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cool. First off, TNA Sacrifice. It's this Sunday, guys, live on pay-per-view. And we're going to try to keep this segment while we're playing this game as positive as we can. First off, it's the Voodookin Mafia taking on Basham and Damaja. Is that it?
Damaja. Danny, yeah, that's Danny Basham.
Yes.
I'm
going to go first on this one.
Doug, I mean, it's they can't call them the Bashams because that's obviously Doug's real name, but it's not. It's not Danny, so
right.
It's Damage. Damage is the name that Jimmy gave him in OVW.
Okay.
Very quickly, and we'll move on. I want to say that if this thing's going to have any legs, then Basham and Danny have to win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for this, because it just, you know, because these guys are valuable long-term, A, and B, for her just to keep feeding people to Brian and Kip, it just makes no sense. Plus, they're not on top of they're not top guys, and you can take Doug and Danny and build them past this and utilize them in tag team wars on down the line. So I'll take Basham and Danny.
All right. I agree with you on that one. It's about time, you know. Christy has been bringing in all these tag teams try to knock off Voodookin Mafia. You know, they've just been knocking them off left and right. It's time for the storyline to progress. And is it going to be Basham and Damaja? Damaja. Is it going to be Basham and Damaja? I don't think so.
Well, okay.
I'm
going to
go with Voodookin Mafia.
All right. I'll play it your way. But I'll take Doug and Danny.
Next up is a Texas death match between Chris Harris and James Storm, America's Most Wanted Explode.
Well, what they need to turn these guys loose, because the last match was such a sham, such a silly thing. The fans, you know, crapped all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal with Chris just coming back off of this whole thing. I've got to go with Chris on this one. And when I say steal it, I mean where it looks like Storm's going to come out on top, but you know, Chris gets the juice and looks like he's on his last leg and steals it some way to get the win. So now you're talking about Texas Death Match, and I don't know if they're going to do it in the style of Texas real Texas Death Matches, which you can win 30 falls and still lose the match,
mm-hmm.
right?
I believe so.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's the way we used to, you know, that was what we had in terms of Texas Death Matches. In other words, you score a fall, they give us a minute rest period, and then we go again.
Mm-hmm.
You can beat me 3 straight falls, but if you can't answer the bell for the 4th fall, then I win the whole match.
Right.
That's the deal. So anyway, with that in mind, you know, and Chris being the babyface here, that's what I see with those guys. And that's the way I would go with it, so I'm going to take Harris.
that does make that makes good sense.
But so you'll go the other direction because you're not because we know who's writing this.
I'm going to go the other direction, but I'm going to tell you why. I don't think Chris Harris has been getting a lot of respect lately from TNA, and you know, I hate to be negative about it, but I don't think they're going to start now. I think they're using Chris Harris to push James Storm.
Well, you know what? You got to realize this time last year, these guys were a strong entity in the tag team division.
Right.
And right now, pretty much because of the way this whole thing was handled, they're neither one too meaningful in the overall picture of the show.
I get this feeling there's something going on, you know, behind the storylines.
Yeah, I don't have a clue.
With the whole thing. Now, I haven't heard anything or anything.
I
just get this feeling. I got this gut feeling. But my gut tells me that James Storm's going to win this one. Who knows where these come from? TNA X Division Championship. It's between Chris Sabin versus Jay Lethal, taking what versus Sanjay Dutt, actually.
Here we go with a multi-man match.
Three-way match.
Yeah, I see. Well, you know what? With the way they've been doing this thing with Lethal. And I won't get into that whole thing. Possibly they're going to go with him. I'd leave it on Saban, honestly. I think Lethal has the character, and the fans are kind of enjoying that. Dutt is just Dutt. They both have more, over-the-top personalities, so that'll work better for them. But I don't think either one of them. I think the belt and a good strong win for Saban is in the best interest of the company, and it'll make him stronger.
Definitely, and I'm going to agree with you on that one. I'm also going to go with Saban, and I see this happening. Jay Lethal, of course, is what the Black Machismo now.
Yeah.
Sanjay's been I believe he's been trying gimmicks and they're not working. I can see Sanjay coming out, trying a new gimmick during this match, it not getting over, and him and Lethal getting into it, ending up with Saban pinning one of them and keeping the belt. That's my scenario. But I'm going to go with Saban on this one. NWA Tag Team Championship. This is another three-way match. It's in their contract or something. They have to be on so many shows.
I see Team 3D should win it because they're the champions. A, B, them and the LAX thing has just never they've never had the match I expected. And as far I don't even know why Steiner and Tomko are partners because they don't even like each other. But I guess they said, hey, we need to work these guys into the pay-per-view, so we'll throw them in here. Here's another illogical match that makes no sense to me. But I'm going to go with 3D.
You're going to go with 3D?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't see LAX getting it back right away. I think if Team 3D did lose to anybody, they would lose it to Steiner and Tomko and try to surprise everybody. But I'm not gonna say that's gonna happen. I'm gonna go with 3D on you.
Okay.
NWA Championship. This is the main event. Christian Cage versus Sting versus Kurt Angle.
Wow. Yeah, to me that's that.
I hesitated to even say it.
Well, see, here's the deal. Christian, it's not that Christian's indisposable. He's not. The other two guys would be more to the more to that point than he would be. I think it's got to go the other direction. I don't know what they're going to go with. They may triangle here but Joe is kind of gotten. I mean, it's what Joe's doing currently hasn't been really meaningful building toward anything the last few weeks. So
is he being punished?
I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, but I mean they haven't done anything to keep him hot is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
I don't know why I'm going to take Angle, but I'm going to take Angle on this one.
You're going to go with Angle.
Well, I get the feeling they're going to try and get more mileage out of Angle and Joe, which really, if you look at it from an insider's standpoint right now, I mean, or how it should be done, that's not real logical either. But I'm going to go with Angle.
I'm going to go ahead and go somewhere completely separate. I'm going to go with Sting on this one.
Okay.
Well,
I would think it would be one or the other.
Yeah, for no other reason but to keep it interesting.
Okay.
So that's it, guys. Check out TNA's Sacrifice.
Isn't Chris Daniels in a match with somebody? Oh, it's Styles and Joe. Now, if they're given, they're on this, and that was just announced today or yesterday. Now, these guys, I know what they can do. I've seen them wrestle before. You give them 20 or 25 minutes, they're apt to steal the show.
That I did not get that one. Styles Styles versus Joe, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But like I say, I've seen the two of them work before, and they can have a heck of a match, given enough time, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So they could end up stealing the show. But in that one, as far as a winner, I'm going to say Joe, simply because they're playing AJ as the, goofy heel with who's not interested in face-to-face confrontation. So anyway, I'll pick Joe in that one.
I'll go with you on that one.
And now, isn't
like
Chris Daniels
good.
In some kind of multi- 70,000 guy battle of some sort or another.
I think so,
but I don't. I don't have the card written down. I figured you had all the latest pertinent.
Well, usually what I used to do is I would just bring up TNA Wrestling and go there, but they have music now on every page, which will go over the air right now. So I'm not going
to
do that.
Well, then you got to start writing it down.
Yeah, and besides, if it's a multi-million man match. I don't really think we're going to pick the winner that well anyway.
Whatever.
But, yeah, so we got the gist, though. We got some good meat
so
in this
anyway,
pay-per-view.
Yeah, there you go.
This is what we're going
to
play the game
on, tell
guys.
Me about you. You got your first look at True Life, I'm a Pro Wrestler.
Yes, I finally got to see the show. It was a good show. I liked it. The only part that I thought was really dry was the part with Hunter and China because it just seemed like, you know, the questions that they were asked and the things that they were said were kind of typical answers.
Well, you see, but that was a corporation behind. I mean, they were basically giving probably, when I said not necessarily told what the answers were, but they knew within the confines, the parameters of what they could and couldn't say. So,
right. But, and plus, it's good for that anyway, because a lot of people who watch that show don't know pro wrestling that well.
Yeah.
It was a good
introduction.
You know,
and I was tickled for Tony. I've known Tony since he started in the business, Tony Atlas. Love him to death. He's had his ups and downs. He got quite a few bookings off of the strength of that. I want to tell you a real crazy story. The producer had asked me, he said, our budget's getting low. He said, I need to find somebody. And, of course, they spent a lot of time in Cincinnati with us. He said, I need to find a wrestler who's on the other end, on the downside, as it were, who's been to the top and is now being utilized in independence. And he said, up in this end of the country. And I suggested Bundy or Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, with Bundy living closer to New York, I guess that's why they called Chris first. And the producer told me, Chris said, well, what's it pay? And the producer says, the publicity. And Chris said no and basically hung up on him.
Mm-hmm.
And the next time I talked to Bundy, I said, are you out of your friggin' mind?
Right.
I mean, when I say this, my school, or myself personally, if you realize how many hours of airtime we got over the first year that show was aired, I couldn't sold everything I owned or everything on the street and bought that kind of time on MTV.
Right.
One of the things I'm very proud of about that particular show, of course now some of them are down to half hours, but when that series first began then, they were all hour shows. And so when they put this thing together, the producer told me about this, so I know it to be factual. He fought to keep it at 90 minutes because otherwise he just felt it wouldn't be complete. If that weren't the case, and the story wouldn't be told properly. So anyway, whoever the powers above him were said, okay, but here's the deal. After the first run, whatever, and, because they run them so often, I'm not sure if that's the first 3 months, 2 months, whatever.
Right.
But when the first run is over, then we expect you to edit it back to an hour to fit into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
That show drew such great numbers that it has never been edited back.
Yeah.
Any time it's ever shown, it's showing for 90 minutes.
I was kind of shocked that it was that long when I first saw it, because I was never a MTV kind of guy at the time. I wasn't a True Life fan.
It was almost like without a television, when that thing was running,
I could tell our computer and in the office and my telephone started to ring and the computer started to get messages. Mm-hmm. It was like people calling, you know. One of the defining things that I'll never forget this is one day I answered the phone and the guy says, you know, I saw the show on MTV about your school and I wanted to get some information. Can you help me? And I said, sure, I'd be happy to. Would you mind answering a couple of questions? I said, no, not at all. So anyway, he started asking me some questions, and after two or three questions, he said, do you mind if I ask who I'm talking to? I said, no, my name's Les. You're Les Thatcher. And I said, yeah. And I guess his wife was, he turns around, honey, the guy who got in that kid's face is on the phone with me. And, you know, and I told somebody who was in the office when I got on the phone, I said, you know, is this what's going to define my career, as I'm the guy that got in the idiot's face from Chicago and chewed his butt. But you know, now I'll tell you another thing. Dr. Tom and his brother Bruce were watching this together. I don't know if anybody else was with them or not. But when I confronted the kid in the ring, you know, and when I told him you're a wrestler, when I tell you you're going to be a wrestler, Tom said he came off the couch and said, hit him, hit the S. But, you know, it was great publicity for us. And we also were on 2020.
Yeah.
You know, off the MTV thing. I mean, we were on MSNBC's Special Edition. We were on 2020. A Columbus, Ohio ABC affiliate came down and did a deal on us. An NBC affiliate from St. Louis flew a crew in here and did a two-part deal on us. We were covered by every station here in the city. I mean, it was just, and Cincinnati Magazine did a lengthy deal on us. It was, I mean, you know, and I go back to Chris Bundy saying, well, what's it worth?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I can't tell you what it was worth to me.
Did he,
you know,
did he end up feeling sorry?
I thought it was edited well and just tremendously done, and I'm very proud of the piece.
Did King Kong Bundy end up saying, God, I wish I would have did that?
I don't know if he did or not, but yeah, I mean, it was... You know, and one kid just kept on my crew. Well, I shouldn't say, but he said, "This damn television cables, I got to step over this." And I said, "You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I can live with a little bit of this inconvenience for the value of it." You know,
right?
And of course, the market that we hit would, you know, was good because it was a market of young people who, you know, were interested in wrestling.
Yeah. Do you feel like that defined your career for a while as the guy who yelled at the other guy for...
Well, I guess so, but I think it also... You know, one of the things that I was very happy with was the feedback I got from within the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Both the two major sheets, The Observer and...
Torch.
Mm-hmm. Both gave it positive reviews. In fact, Meltzer Keller, I don't forget which, but said that next to Wrestling with Shadow, thought it was the best documentary done. I think we, you know, put the business over the way it should be, you know,
mm-hmm.
And it was a great thing for Rory Fox because, you know, the funny thing is that Rory was coming in, he was a new student too, and then this kid out of Chicago. Actually, the producer said, you know, well, the Fox is already there. And I said, yeah. He said, well, I think I get somebody coming in. I said, fine. And I said, well, let me tell you. And the kid from Chicago now had flown down to Cincinnati and spent a weekend with us, you know, gone to a show and come to the training. And we knew he had an amateur wrestling background in Chicago, or, you know, to what extent, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing was all these negative things about him, we were total, all of us, myself, my crew, were totally unaware of. And so the producer said, you know, I said, well, now this kid from Chicago flew in, and he's planning on coming to school here. He said, can I have his number? And I said, sure. So, and when I say, you know, now they talk about reality series and stuff being scripted now, right?
Right.
And let me tell you, this totally was not, just one example is now they went to Chicago and drove in to Cincinnati with a kid. And, I mean, was, of course, you know, like with anything, movies or documentaries, a lot of footage is left on the floor, so a lot of it you don't see. But anyway, they got, I don't know how many miles from the school. Producer called me, and he said, I'm sending in my camera crew to set up because I want them to see the kid come in for the first time and you greet him, and then you do whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it was.
Yeah.
So we were never asked to do anything in particular. Well, I shouldn't say that, because like you say, well, is there a special kind of drill that you might do for this? I'd like to see that. But I mean, in terms of how we presented ourselves or our product or the school, or, you know, we were never prompted in any way, shape, or form on how to do that.
Now, they rode, as you said, all the way down to Cincinnati with him in the car. Now, on the way and on the program, he was talking about, you know, I want money, I want fame, I want fortune, I want women. And that's kind of okay, I guess, but it's not supposed to be the main reason you want to be a wrestler.
Well, you know, I think, and you know, a lot of guys wouldn't say that, but it probably is is a determining factor for a lot of people that make the attempt. That not, you know, and not just that, Doc, but at being an actor or a baseball player or a rock star or anything mm-hmm. else, you know.
Right, but do you? It's in my opinion. I mean, it's sort of the wrong attitude to go in with. Not once in that monologue he gave did he say wrestling.
Well, you know, but then, you know what, until the producer told me, until I saw the piece,
mm-hmm.
I had no idea that the kid had washed out of fireman school, that he had been in rehab in the past.
Right.
I mean, we weren't aware of any of this,
right.
You know? And I'll tell you what, talk about keeping the wolves from the door. I can't tell you because I didn't keep count, but there was on more than one occasion, some of my, the kids that were training with me at the time or wrestling for me, would come to me and say, I want to kick this guy's ass.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, you can't do that.
Right.
But, you know, although now, I mean, there were times that I wanted to do the same thing, and I couldn't, you know, or wouldn't. So,
right.
but, you know, that's...
I guess what I was getting at with the whole thing was, do you think the producers picked this guy, Matt, because they were hoping he might wash out?
No. They picked him because... they thought he just had an outgoing personality, plus, you know, and of course, you know, that's part of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact I think the reason that I was picked to do some of these network things was that I was fairly articulate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can't communicate, if you can't talk to people, or you can't give answers that make sense and a bit entertaining, then
right.
That's not a lot of value either, you know. But I know, in fact, there was going to be another ending to that.
Really?
When he, yes, and I'll tell you that story. We need to get Frank on here pretty soon.
Yeah, we do.
We can continue this next week, in part, if you want, but the producer, before this thing went to air, the producer called me, and the kid, he wanted to shoot the kid coming back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Apologizing to me and apologizing to the other wrestlers
uh-huh.
in the school, and to see him finish up and actually have... I mean, he was so far away from having a match, because once the MTV crew left, and they left the camera with him to record a diary, which I don't think he ever did.
Right.
Because he stopped... I mean, he just skipped practice. Well, part of it was, I guess, because he was looking for drugs.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, the producer, God love him, he went to Chicago... drove in with a kid. They went through, I won't even tell you the whole crazy story of the car breaking down halfway between Chicago and Cincinnati. Anyway, they got into Cincinnati, and the producer checked into the hotel that MTV tells them to use in Cincinnati, which was downtown. And it was a double room. And so he said that it was late. I'm like, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was when they got into Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, he said, I'm going to, you know, we got to be out at the school. In fact, I had wrestlers that were going to be there so the kid could come in and apologize and work out and the whole thing. So we said, we've got to be out at Les's place at noon, you know.
Right.
And so I'm going to get some sleep. And so the kid said to him, he said, well, I'm going to step outside and smoke a cigarette. And so the producer's head hit the pillow, and he was sound asleep. He'd left a wake-up call for the next morning, whatever time, I don't know. I'm going to say 9 o'clock, just, you know, to throw a number out there.
Yeah.
And so he got his wake-up call and realized that bed next to him had never been slept in.
Oh, wow.
And the kid just disappeared. Apparently on the hunt of, you know, and he called me finally at about 11:30, and he said, I mean, he was just, bless his heart, he was just so down. you know. And I said, man, I said, you should have shackled him to the bed or something. I said,
yeah.
You know, there's no doubt in my mind what happened,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that was going to be the new ending to the show.
Wow.
And, you know, or on top of Rory having his match, this
right.
was going to be the kid coming back to renew his training and try it again. And, of course, it didn't happen.
No.
Now, I'll tell you another quick incident. The kid with his drug, he asked one of my kids to drive him downtown. He said, I've got to go down to the main branch of the bank. Some goofy story that the kid, the other trainee, didn't even think twice about. He just thought the kid needed a ride. So anyway, the other kid took him downtown, and this was like we started practice at 6 or 6:30. I don't remember what time it was. But anyway, he said, you know, I have to go down to the main branch. Well, the kid driving him down didn't think, well, it's after 5 o'clock
right.
when they got down there, right? So the kid finds a place to park, and it's a couple blocks from the bank. And he said, well, I'll walk back with you. And the kid from Chicago said, no, I'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
So the kid's sitting there. And then he gets out and walks back and realizes the bank's closed. And then he looks at his watch and he says, oh, my God, I'm going to be late for practice. And one of the things I told my kids, if you're going to be late, you call.
Right.
Or if you don't call and show up late, there'll be repercussions, you know, more calisthenics or whatever. Because time, being on time in our business is part of being in the business.
Right.
So anyway, he went to a phone and called me. And the minute he told me, I said, man, you're not going to see him. He's off running toward the lower end of the town where the drugs are dealt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's how he got a ride downtown.
Jeez.
Yeah.
We're going to have to continue this next week because these stories are fascinating to hear, especially since I've just seen this. But let's continue this next week. Let's take a break right now. We've got American Kickboxer. He's a Detroit area trainer. We're going to talk more about training and training techniques and things like that. You're listening to Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and Les Thatcher, guys. We're going to be back with our main guest right after this.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
There's the latest news and information on Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite?
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, The Best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Hi, my name is Adam Nadelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nadelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay?
Thank you.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now from the area of Detroit, he's a wrestling trainer. His name is American Kickboxer. And I want to thank you for being on the show tonight. I apologize that we're going to have such a short time, but I mean, let's delve into this.
Okay, yeah, that'd be great.
Well, actually, that's not his name. His mother didn't name him American Kickboxer.
No.
So you'll hear me call him Frank, so that actually is his name. Frank and I go back to 1993 when I first started training guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, most definitely. I could go into that just real quick. Let me get a plug in real quick for a show we got coming up. I don't know if Les has plugged it enough or not.
go ahead, Frank.
But in Elizabethton on May 18th, we're going to be there in the recreation center, and I'll tell you, it's what a great venture for Malcolm up here to go down south and really, you know, take a great chance to go into that area and bring our wrestlers from up here down to that area to see how they'd fare. You understand? So as I said, on May 18th, we're going to be down in that area, and I actually get to work with wrestle one of my childhood heroes, Mike Jackson. I'm sure Les knows a lot about Mike.
Yeah, I was going to say that if you didn't, Frank, it's fantasy camp for Frank, right?
Oh, it is. It really truly is. I my whole goal with this for me was to get people to actually look up and find out who Mike Jackson was and really truly appreciate the guy who he is, because he was my idol as a child. So.
And I want to say before we go here, we're trying to condense and throw everything in here. And I want to throw in the fact that I'm going to be in Detroit June 23rd, 24th on the 23rd, Frank's school and Truth Martini School. You guys, they're in the same building, but we're doing an all-day seminar there on Saturday the 23rd, starting at 11 o'clock and running until God knows when.
Yeah.
Anyway, Frank, give them the contact numbers, phone numbers.
Okay, most definitely. If you want to get in contact with us, get a hold of me. I'm sure everybody's got a MySpace, so you can contact me through MySpace at amkickboxer from myspace.com for any information on that seminar. That's going to be a really great thing. A lot of these guys up here, I think it's going to be a real positive thing. I come out of your camp, and I can say nothing but positive things. So.
Oh, you could have said some unpositive things years ago.
No, actually,
you know something I want you to touch on now. Anybody's never seen, Frank is not a big guy, and I was telling Doc, Frank, realize in 1993 there was no Rey Mysterios, there were no cruiserweights, and even 2 years later when Sharkboy started me, I started him as a referee because of his size.
Exactly.
But I told Doc, I said, the first time that you came in when I took over the training at Bone Crushers, I thought it was a rib.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I said, no, this kid, he's carrying the jackets or he's refereeing or something. But you know what I want you to touch on, and something that I pound away at on this show occasionally, is just throwing your body up for grabs with no rhyme or reason.
Sure.
And we're not going to keep away from lawsuits. We're not going to get into who the promoter was that
right,
blew
sure.
a lot of smoke up your little
right,
butt
sure.
and had you diving off of balconies and one thing and another, and
right.
it cost you physically. And
Right? I can go into great detail about that, Les. In the 90s, as you mentioned, there really wasn't very many cruiserweight wrestlers. There were very few and far. I actually moved to Cincinnati so I could work with Tarek specifically.
Right.
And, that was our niche, you know. My niche, anyways, was working with Tarek. We figured that out, that, you know, there was no other guys. So, as you mentioned before, going to extremes is, you know, I see these guys today, and I beg them, please, please slow down. You know, I'm 35 years old, and this June will be 17 years that I've been involved in the business, and there's days that I can hardly walk, and that's a reality. That's a reality that I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of my life, that I have to get up with. You understand that, you know, these promoters, I tell my students, take the Indies as a learning experience. This isn't Madison Square Garden. You're not going to make a fortune. Use it to learn. And if you don't do that, then you're buying into your own gimmick and you're buying into your own.
Young and impressionable. I've teased Tarek about this for years and years, but the guy he's talking about, Doc, is basically, this was back in 93 when he came, is he basically, without saying it directly just like this, but he basically told me that, you know, if I didn't learn to do lucha and, you know, go through tables, that I'd be, you know, that I'd be passe and out of the business in the next few years, because he prayed to the idol of Sabu and everything Mexican, you know. So you,
I could tell you a funny story about that here real quick. Les,
okay,
if you, you want to throw Sabu's name in? Tarek and I are actually sitting and having dinner with Sabu, and this, you know, this was almost like a moment for the both of us at that point, you know, and. So Tarek asks Sabu, he said, so what do you think we should do or we might be able to do to help our matches out? And Sabu sat and he talked for probably a good 10 minutes, right, giving his opinion and his honest opinion. And Tarek retorted just as soon as Sabu got done talking with, well, Rip Rogers said, and I just looked at the ceiling like, well, why did you even, you know, why ask the man his opinion? You know? Yeah, that's fine. That's great, Sabu. But Rip Rogers said, you know, I'm like, oh, great.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But you guys, and it's true, the two of you worked with each other so often that sometimes it just came down to who could one-up the other guy, and caution was thrown to the wind, and that's one of the reasons you have a hard time getting out of bed today, right?
Exactly. And, you know, these guys have got to realize, you know, You everybody's entitled, I guess, to your 15 minutes, you might say. I think everybody has their 15 minutes in this lifetime. But realize after that 15 minutes that you're going to have to live a life, you know. And when that 15 minutes is over, you know, your lifestyle, you know, has got to go on. You know, you've got to be, you know, I can't stress, you know, enough for these young guys to take it easy on their bodies. I just see so much, and, you know, it's even beyond what I did, you know, and what I did was stupid and, you know, idiotic for its time, you know.
When did you start training wrestlers?
I waited, believe it or not, I was a martial arts trainer before I had ever got into the business.
Like what sort?
Well, actually, I started out with Japanese martial arts and then went on to Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good Greco-Roman background in freestyle wrestling, so it kind of came naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But I waited until 9 years into the business, at least 3 days a week on the road, before I dared train anybody to do anything regarding wrestling, because I wanted to know for sure that you know, I was teaching correctly.
Right.
And I can only teach the way that I was taught, you understand. You know, I don't go by a guidebook or anything like that. I go through life's experience and, you know, life's lessons when I teach.
Now you've taught a lot in I believe Indiana?
Yeah, I did some stuff in Indiana. That was more or less what it was a promoter brought me in. He had a really great group of guys that I trained out in. IPW was the name of the promotion.
Insanity Pro?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Indianapolis?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And right now, the current CZW Ultra Violent, and I really hate to say it like that or whatever, but Drake Younger came out of my camp.
Okay.
He's the Ultra Violent Underground Deathmatch Explosions or whatever champion.
Wow, yeah.
And Vortex is their lightweight champion. He also came out of my camp. And I truly understand Les's point of view. I really can't say that enough. When he watched me and Tarek, when I watched them, and I'm just, I'm afraid for them like they're my children. You know?
Right.
And I see some of the things they do, and I, you know, I understand, you know, and I hope I'm not going into too great a detail, but this business has always been prostitution, okay? It's what you'll do for the money, or you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Except the difference was, and to quote a really great thinker I know, back in the day, those guys were $500 a night call girls, and now the guys are $10 on the corner.
Okay, that was a little too descriptive.
Well, if it's too descriptive for you, Doc, I can't. But you tell Doc that you were you wrestled extensively for IWA Mid-South,
I helped start the company.
He will stand up and salute, because he's a big proponent of that promotion. But then, you know, that was the other thing too. It wasn't that I was against hardcore, Doc, but it was just...
You just wanted rhyme and reason, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in cage matches, I've been in strap matches, I've been in Texas Death, but they were worked, we built to them out of something.
Sure, sure.
And I remember the first IWA Mid-South show that I ever went to, and I thought, my God, I've stepped into another world.
Yeah. Trace Smothers said it was like Iraq or Afghanistan or something like that.
IWA, they've come a long way from the days of Kentucky and everything being hardcore.
Well,
now, I'm not really a big hardcore fan, but they do a lot of, they have a lot of technical matches now.
Well, let me explain.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing that Vince is going to have to do. And TNA is going to have to do. They've went too far. So where do they have to go?
Backward.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And mark my words, and I say this in all seriousness: the next phase of pro wrestling will be the semi shoot, or it's going to be a throwback, and it's got to be, because they can't take it any further unless somebody's going to rent a helicopter or something crazy like that. It's got to go back. You understand?
Right.
Well, let me, Public Enemy, and both those guys are gone. God rest their souls.
God bless Rock, man.
Yeah,
but here's
the point I was going to make with that. First it was one table, then it was two, and I forget how many tables it was, but it was at the Harley, when they do the outdoor show with the Harley bikers.
Right. That was right. Five, I think.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway, but the point was, I sat and watched them start to stack. But it just killed the whole match.
Well, let me give you a great synopsis of my view of that hardcore and that whole type of thing. I had heard it was a brilliant analogy. It was it's like a soldier that goes into a battlefield, okay? And this is the fan's point of view. And when that soldier went into that battlefield, that first time that he seen a dead body, he was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
It almost made him sick to his stomach if he didn't get sick to his stomach. But he walked down that trail, okay? When he got further down that trail, he seen a couple dead bodies. Now, he was kind of sick to his stomach, but it wasn't as disturbing to him.
Mm-hmm.
He went further down that trail, and he seen a stack of dead bodies, you know? Now, he's never seen a body stacked up quite like that, you know, or the way they died. But he wasn't really, disturbed or shaken or anything by that. But by the time he got to the end of that trail, there was bodies to the right of him, bodies to the left of him, and he didn't look either direction.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's my synopsis with hardcore wrestling and that whole deal. If you it becomes them dead bodies. You're just stacking dead bodies on top of each other to stack them up, you know.
Yeah. My whole thing as a fan is that I feel guilty for watching somebody do that to themselves for my own entertainment.
Oh well, let me give you a great example. And my son is named Christian Dylan Thomas, and he's his middle name's the same as the Necro Butcher. He's actually a really close friend. I consider him a great guy,
mm-hmm.
And I watch him, and I'm just like, good God, man, I can't explain it, If anybody's seen him, you know, you understand what I'm talking about. And yeah, the guy's, believe it or not, the guy's brilliant. And I hate to kill his gimmick or anything like that, but he's a brilliant guy. It's just the limits that he's gone and everything else. I just pray for him, you know.
Yeah.
That's the best I can do for him, you know. You can talk till you're blue in the face. But, you know,
yeah.
Les understands that, right, Les?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I do. Yes. You know, and that's the thing that I think that Frank brings to the table as a trainer, because he's gone the spectrum. He was one of the kids who wouldn't listen and just knew us old guys were just jealous because we couldn't do a quadruple somersault into a wet paper cup. And, you know, and he was going to show us that we just didn't know what we were talking about, you know. But then as he got older, I got smarter.
Yeah,
it was kind of like with your parents, you know.
Yeah, it was a good stay in Memphis, I think, that smartened me up, too. And the light went on. I was like, you know, you're doing that Memphis run, you know.
You mean Knoxville?
No, I was in Memphis.
Oh, okay. But I was thinking of the show where all you guys came down to one of the Smokey
shows.
Oh,
yeah, the Smokey show, yeah.
And
those are
Doc,
great.
What they saw was, I forget who it was now. I think it was Lawler and White Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Anthony.
And they were, what blew them away was these guys had the building going crazy with holes.
Oh, exactly.
Exactly.
wow. Look at that. Man,
nobody dove off the balcony, and they had these people all excited. So. But
that was the same night. Wasn't that the same night that Boo and D-Lo got in the wrestling match in the hotel?
You know what? I think it was. Yeah, but they were just talk about just being kids. They were just green as grass at that time too.
But the funny thing was if anybody got in trouble or anything like that, Thatcher would get the first phone call, and you could just watch him pulling his hair out and face the floor. It was, I loved it. It was so wonderful.
we're about out of it. Frank, we're going to have you before the Detroit run. We're going to have you back on and pursue talking about the early years in the school and everything.
That'd
but once
wonderful.
Again, anybody like to join us on the 23rd, give them the contact.
Yeah, please contact me at myspace.com/AmericanKickboxer. Also, you can reach me or Truth Martini at myspace.com/TruthMartini. Rage, let me get real quick plug in. Rage, RAAGE, Regional Alliance for the Advancement of Grappling Excellence, and the House of Truth is the actual schools. And Les, I wanted to thank publicly the guys who put together that great video package for us. For that 20.
Oh yeah, that was cool. Yeah,
yeah,
the one that Doc put up on the sites. Yeah,
Soren, kid by the name of Soren and Christian out of Denmark. Believe it or not,
is that right?
Put that together, and I really want to thank them. They do some really great stuff, so I wanted to give them a shout out.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. And then I'll see you in a couple weeks in Elizabethan, and if you anybody listened to the show, it's going to be Mid-South versus Midwest.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast.
Yeah,
huh?
Tim Horner's on the show, Mike Jackson, a couple of the old guys, Ted Allen, and the boys out of Detroit. So
what I've told these guys is you think you're great and everything else. Well, now it's, you know, put up or shut up time. These are the guys. This is the measuring stick. So
And Elizabethan is right up in the Tri-Cities, Bristol, Kingsport, Johnson City.
Yeah.
And you can go to MCMW. Yeah. And see the poster and make contact if you're interested. We're going to start the seminar there at 10 a.m. and we'll probably go to about 4 o'clock. And but anyway, Frank, look forward to seeing you.
Oh, Les, it's a pleasure. Hey, Doc, thanks for having me on. It's been a great time, guys.
And
I wish we'd had a little bit more time.
Yeah, well, we will the next time because we didn't have a show last week. We're trying to stuff 10 pounds into a 5-pound bag, as it were.
Oh,
and but we'll have you on in mid-June before we make the Detroit run. And I look forward to seeing you on the 18th.
Oh, always a pleasure, guys. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
You guys have a great night.
Bye bye. American Kickboxer here on Wrestling Weekly. Guys, we got to get going, but tune in next week. We've got, of course, from Ring of Honor, Gabe Sapolsky is going to be with us. He's going to be talking about that new pay-per-view deal. And the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, is going to be our featured guest on Wrestling Weekly next week. So tune in for that. Les,
and we're going to give him more than 10 minutes.
Yes, definitely.
All right.
Les, I will talk to you again next week, my friend.
All right, and we can get further into the MTV thing if you want to. Yes. And anybody listen, if you have any questions, feel free to ask them.
Yes, we're going to be putting up new forms this week. So if you went to our forms and you've seen it's a disaster, we'll be having that up this week. So keep looking at WrestlingWeekly.com and join our new forums.
All right, Doc, and I'm out of here, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye, everybody.